Hi, my name is Richard Crawford, host of Supply and Demand, an enlightening webcast where we delve into the dynamic world of the global supply chain, where we navigate through the complexities, the disruptions, and the innovations that shape this vital network of interconnected businesses. From sourcing raw materials to delivering finished products, we'll uncover the challenges that arise at each stage and explore strategies for optimizing efficiency and sustainability. And each week, we'll highlight and discuss a specific supply chain event. And I'm joined each episode by my co-host and resident supply chain expert, founder and CEO of the Atlas Network, super dad, super husband, super friend, Kareem Kafuri. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What's going on in your world?
All good. You know, I came back from Asia last week, which was unbelievable. I hadn't been back there in a few years. Saw my team, saw my offices, spent some good time in Shanghai. Shanghai right here. And basically just really enjoyed it. And I got a chance to actually go to Hangzhou, China, and go to Alibaba headquarters, where they interviewed me because our company is the first US-based verified supplier of Alibaba. It was really a nice like production and setup. And I shot some good information from there too that I'm sure we'll be, you know, showing later on at some point also. And it was great. It was great to just be back in China, back in that side of the world. I love Shanghai. It's an amazing city. We went to Shanghai together.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah,
back when I had dark, back when I had dark hair.
Back when I had hair.
it was not that long ago, Kareem.
It wasn't that long ago. That's right. But it was a good time. It was great. And that is such a great city, Shanghai. It's this beautiful combination of old and new. We did the riverboat cruise this time, where when you go on the boat, you actually see all the new side of Shanghai and then the old side of Shanghai on the other side. We went to
Shanghai. Is that the first time you've been there since COVID?
Yes.
How different is it now?
That's the thing. I mean, it really wasn't that much. I mean, there was just, a little bit of some additional safety protocols getting through the airports. You can see that you run through these areas where they take your temperature and stuff. Yeah. And things like that. But other than that, it was fine. I mean, business as usual, and everybody was kind of up and going.
That's good to hear.
China's great. It was really good to be back and be back with my team, too. We hadn't seen each other in a long time, so.
Cool. All right. So let me introduce our next guest, who definitely has a very, very impressive resume. So Dr. Zal Feroz is an established specialist on marketing segmentation and global supply chain practices within global impact areas, including fast-moving consumer goods and IT industry. And he's held a number of executive and senior management roles, including appointments at Procter & Gamble and Telus, and is currently a member of faculty at Rady School of Business, the University of California, San Diego. Now, in addition to holding a PhD in hierarchical decision-making patterns for the placement of physical supply chain entities, Dr. Feroz is a graduate of the University of Windsor's Computer Science program and also holds an MBA in international finance. He has held faculty appointments at Harvard University, UCLA, the University of Windsor, and is currently regularly invited as a speaker and guest to lecture in supply chain topics. Dr. Feroz's latest book, entitled Perspectives of Supply Chain Competitiveness, a Handbook, was released in June 2020. Dr. Feroz, welcome to the show.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much, Richard, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. And yes, definitely an introduction. I really only skimmed the surface of your resume. But tell us a little bit about some of the exciting things that are happening in your world today.
Well, there's quite a few that are taking place. It's interesting because I don't think supply chain was as much of a mainstream term as it has become since COVID-19 and since President Biden mentioned the word supply chain on national television and the national media. So over the last few years, the topic of supply chain management has certainly evolved into a topic that many people have heard of, many people know about, and many people have been evaluating, studying, and understanding much more so than in a prior time in a prior generation.
Yeah, and it seems to be, at least for us, it's become fun.
Indeed.
Did you ever think you would hear that?
Never. No, never. I never have. It's funny, I used to routinely cross the border between Canada and the U.S. I studied in Canada and I studied in the U.S. and I worked between the two countries. And every time I would cross, a border guard would inevitably ask me, the routine set of questions. What do I do? And, you know, X, Y, and Z. And one of them was, what do I teach? And then the next question was, what's the topics? What are the courses that I teach? And as soon as I'd say supply chain, instantly the topic would change. And the reason for why is because not too many people really knew what a supply chain was until, relatively recently when it became a little bit more mainstream. So yes, it certainly has become fun in the last little while.
Yeah, and to be honest, as I've come to find out, supply chain covers a lot. Like from A to Z, it's. I'm surprised that as much as in there's actually one title for the whole thing.
Indeed, yeah, indeed. Everything from demand forecasting to projection to product quality control to an understanding of consumer behavioral patterns to elements of marketing and branding that kind of get folded into the umbrella. There's a lot of areas that fall under the realm of supply chain, and there's other topics that also form subtopics: operations, logistics, distribution management, retail management, etc., etc., etc. So, yes, it is relatively all encompassing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy that you're on the show, Dr. Furrows. It's very nice to meet you, see you. I feel exactly the same as you do, being in this industry for 20 years. Having offices in China, having offices in New York. We're a supply chain management and solutions company. And yes, it's now become a sexy term, but for, a good probably 15 of those 20 years, it was, you do what? And, you help companies with what? And how do you assist? And what do you do? And, we've always, here at the Atlas Network, taken a very regulatory-based approach. I was a former regulator at the SEC and at NASD FINRA. Couldn't be more foreign from that, but was an MBA as well, like you, in international business and business law and traveled to Asia and so on. And, it was exciting to really kind of finally see that the world was understanding the true value, unfortunately, in the wake of significant disruptions, but, that it's been, nice and has been exploding. And I'm sure, like yourself, speaking at a lot of conferences, talking about a lot of important topics today, from sustainability to nearshoring to this to that, AI as it relates to supply chain. So I think that there's significant advancements and developments, as I'm sure you're teaching about and you're discussing. But the neat thing is that if you had the background in the space, which you do, obviously, and I also do have a good amount of background in there, you really see holistically, how the world today can benefit from so many of these ideas and concepts that have been kind of talked or promoted for years before. And so, it's nice to see it all kind of like coming to fruition. And in many ways for folks like probably yourself and I, now we're standing at a place where our knowledge can actually be capitalized because people care. So, I don't know if your feelings are the same, but at least that's what I'm experiencing these days.
Well, I mean, in many ways, I concur. In many ways, I agree. It's interesting because my time spent at Procter & Gamble, was doing very important things, but things that my friends would have no, we couldn't really grasp. And then I was invited to develop and teach supply chain courses at Harvard, which I still do. I've been teaching these courses for 10 plus years now. And it was interesting because people who would come and take these classes loved the idea of what a supply chain was by way of the description, but few actually had much experience within, supply chain roles. So it was something that people wanted to learn about, knew that existed, but didn't really know, the fundamental areas or what it involved and what it included. So as things have progressed, it's made it a lot easier for me to say, I'm a supply chain professor, and people say, oh, we understand, as opposed to, okay, let's change topics.
Speaking of Cambridge, I was there just recently for the Crossroads 2024, which was at MIT. I went there because two reasons. One, I recently got the executive degree in AI business and strategy from MIT just because I wanted to know more about it. And the second thing is I'm a very big fan of Yoshi Sheffy. sure you know him.
And, of course, yes.
You know, I've sort of interacted with him in many different ways, and he was lecturing during this Crossroads 2024, which was this intersection of sort of how AI and supply chain and jobs for the future all are going to kind of come together. It was a nice crowd of both academic and business people.
Kareem, let me just jump in here. You're not just a big fan. You're like a teenage girl with a rock band with this. That's all I heard out of your mouth for about a year. Like, oh, this guy, I'm going to meet this guy.
Well, I know it's funny. It's funny that I got so excited about it, you know, a 70-plus-year-old, you know, professor. But, you know, I'm an academic in my mind. And so I love, you know, all of that. And you know, obviously, I would like to pick up your book. I'd like to hear more about your book that you put together in 2020.
Kareem, let's talk about that. Let's get into the hot seat segment. And when we're finished in the hot seat segment, we can, that way Dr. Faraz can have a little more time to talk about his book and not be rushed.
Sure.
Now, Dr. Faraz, for someone with such an impressive academic background, you're used to answering questions under pressure, really. But are you ready for the hot seat segment of the Supply and Demand Show?
Well, you know, I'm ready. That's the answer. I'm ready.
All right. So just to establish, so we're going to ask you three questions, and the goal here is to get as close to 5 minutes in answering them without going over. Now, I mention this every time we do an episode, that our current champion is a young lady by the name of Katie Date, who actually works for Manifest. She managed to do it in 4 minutes and 58 seconds. So there was a very small area. There's about 2 seconds that you have to be within to beat her. So
are you ready? Okay, let's see.
Yeah. So you ready to get started?
I am indeed.
All right, my friend, the clock starts now. All right. Question number one, do supply chains have any impact on business?
Indeed, they do. They've got a profound impact on business from a number of different perspectives and a number of different areas. We can start from the supply side. We can go into the manufacturing side. We can go into the quality assurance side. We can go into almost every element of the role business plays in getting a product from the time it's made into the hand of a consumer, and even the second consumer and the third consumer if it's something that can be resold. The concept of supply chain is relatively interesting because it's like an umbrella term. It's very conceptual in its nature. Then when you dig deeper and deeper, you get into various forms of analytics and you get into various areas of operations or logistics or, you know, quality control, demand projection and forecasting, regression. You can get so technical or qualitative, and it all kind of combines together. So in the practice of within supply chain practices, very impactful to business, from both an area of qualitative and quantitative assessment, and actually plays a huge role in getting a product into the hands of consumers.
Question number two, in simple words, why is a supply chain important to you and to me?
Well, we've just gone through COVID, and I say just, but it's been a couple of years, but we've gone through COVID, and for the first time, I would say, in a long time in North America, we actually found what it feels like to have product shortages. Now, I'm originally South African. I traveled to South Africa on a very regular basis. This is nothing new to me. Going into South Africa and going into a store and, you know, saying I'd like to buy something that, you know, you've got on your website and hearing that it's out of stock or that it won't be coming in for the next, you know, couple of months is nothing new. However, I've never had to deal with anything like that in North America until the after effects of COVID. And this is a directly connected to supply chain management, right? The projection and forecasts of how many products would be used by a group of consumers, the costs of transporting those products being prohibitively high and as a result, either increasing the cost of these goods or not making it viable for these retailers to sell these products anymore. And as a result, there being a variety of different, you know, out of stock situations and inventory shortage situations. And also what was very interesting is that post-COVID, we actually got a window into a number of situations in which we realized as a society that products that we use and take for granted are comprised of, you know, an almost infinite number of parts and pieces. And if just one of those pieces is not there, the product as a whole is not complete. One example that showcases this is the example of cars, the automotive sector. Post-COVID, we would see things like, you know, there being a chip shortage. And so, you know, we couldn't have a car that was put together, or one component of an automobile. And this, I think, took place even amidst the Russia-Ukraine tension, where, you know, a glove box would not be available, or a shifter knob would not be available. And truthfully, what that meant is that the entire car was not ready for sale, right? So understanding these, you know, very, very minute details that we kind of just take for granted. We want to go buy a car, we go to the car lot and there's a car there, and we say, how much do you want? And they give us a price, and back and forth we go, and you know, that's that. And we don't anticipate a huge spike in the price or a huge drop in the price. We kind of have a subconscious understanding of what that price would be and take it for granted that the availability will be there and we can kind of get it, especially in America. You know, that's kind of the assumption and expectation we have, not necessarily elsewhere in the world. And after, you know, supply chain management came into the limelight, and especially after COVID and after, you know, some of the global impact events that have taken place, it has you know, almost pronounced that reality of the fact that a supply chain is so many moving pieces all kind of put together with so many different variables that are always moving, and so many changes that take place as a result of global events, consumer demand patterns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that it's a very, very fine-tuned, almost symphony of events taking place.
Now, Dr. Faraz, if there had been two questions in 5 minutes, you would have actually won. But it is what you're saying is what you're saying is fascinating. So you are going over the time, but it's a very
okay.
You're fascinating to listen to, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I just wish it was 2 seconds because you would have beat Katie. Anyway, let's go to the third question. How do global events impact the supply chain, and as a result, impact the consumer?
Well, so Richard, I would argue that I answered that third question and the second question, so I technically I think I've already won. But let me go back and answer that question more specifically. There's been a number of global events, as I've mentioned, and some of these, you know, we're well aware of, like COVID and, you know, whatnot. But even smaller events like the Baltimore Bridge situation, which just took place, has somewhat of an impact on supply chain. There are other issues that will inevitably take shape and have an impact. You know, we've just had inflation data come through, and you know, rates are going up. What does that mean? Does that mean perhaps that consumers are less inclined to make certain types of purchases? Would that impact consumer behavioral patterns in terms of how people buy certain products? Sure, right? So there's a lot of different things that are taking place in the world that will affect how people make decisions on what they buy. And based on those decisions, a supply chain is inevitably impacted. And also have, it's somewhat of a domino effect, because if someone decides not to buy one product, is the price of that product going to go down to potentially increase demand in another segment? Is the lifespan of that product going to go down? Is there depreciation or obsolescence we need to consider? Are there other retailers that are going to be impacted? Are those earnings going to go down? Is the stock price going to... So there's so many different areas that inevitably will be impacted.
All right, I'm stopping the countdown now, but I will have our editor put an asterisk next to your name and say, well, here's the time. However, he did actually answer that question before it was asked, so we'll put an asterisk in there.
All right, I appreciate that. It certainly does.
All right, so Kareem, let's continue this conversation, because again, this is wonderful. You're very knowledgeable, very knowledgeable man. Kareem, you're currently in the middle of a project that you're quite excited about, and Dr. Faraz has already completed that project. So let's ask him about his book.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to hear a little bit more about your book. Obviously, we're going to pick it up and take a read of it. I'm in the middle of doing something similar to writing my own, just love to hear a little bit about, you know, your 2020 release.
And most definitely. In 2020, I, well, actually, as a side, Interestingly enough, you mentioned Yossi Sheffy. I was at a, we were both keynote speakers at a conference in Brazil. And I think this was shortly before my book was put out. I think this was probably going back to about 2018 or thereabouts. And it was interesting because the book that I wrote takes into account a lot of the different perspectives that I've gained from various areas of, you know, supply chain that I've been privy to or influenced by, but more so focuses on some of the firsthand knowledge that I have in terms of evaluating a supply chain. And it's designed to be a handbook, so it's not designed to be extraordinarily heavy in terms of theory and extraordinarily heavy in terms of quantitative assessment. It's more so just a complementary text that will allow someone who might be a newcomer to supply chain or someone who wants to evaluate supply chain from supply chain management from a number of different areas to understand in a very concise manner how to do exactly that.
Oh, that's great. No, and it's funny because that's kind of what I'm doing, sort of, because, you know, I've been in the trenches, obviously, working through supply chain management for two decades, and there's no hair on the top of my head for a reason. But what I have is very gray, and that's from, you know, a lot of war stories along the way, and, you know, some really interesting sort of twists and turns that honestly, through practical, you know, application, you really get a true sense of what supply chain, you know, can do, can be, or breaks down in the ways that it does also, and what that means for customers and sales and real businesses going out of business or not. And the pandemic, as you mentioned earlier on in our conversation, you know, was exactly, you know, one of those things that spotlighted, you know, just how important to have this process in place is. So, I mean, I appreciate that that was the focus of your book. And the other side of it is, too, is that supply chain management is such a growing field right now. I mean, every university or most of the universities now have significant amount of courses in this or even developing majors in this. So, you know, I see just a significant amount of jobs to come and opportunities in the future, and there's some significant developments here, and there are people that want to just start from the basics. They just want to know the nuts and bolts. How does this thing kind of work? What does it even mean? And then build upon it certain levels of, you know, more in-depth knowledge. So I think I'd love to come and audit one of your classes, maybe at Harvard or one of your other things that you're doing. I'm a student, perpetual student, always outside of just doing what I do. You know, obviously fascinating to have you on the show, and I'm sure hopefully we'll stay in touch
absolutely. You
know, and keep up with each other for sure.
I would be honored. And yes, absolutely. It's such a pleasure to be here. And thank you so much for those kind words. It warms my heart to know that there are people like you who are, you know, perpetual learners of the field. It is absolutely wonderful to hear. And thank you very much for those kind words. It's an absolute honor to be here.
Well, you'll be glad to hear, Dr. Faraz, that you got a grade of an A for this show. It would have been an A+, but you were late coming on and you came up with some excuse about being stuck in an elevator. I know you've gotten that from one of your students. Outside of the dog eating my homework, the elevator one is usually the next one.
Number two.
I'll tell you, my students are much more creative than that.
Anyway, an A is pretty good, right? So before we go, Dr. Faraz, tell everybody how they can actually get a hold of you if they needed to.
Certainly. So I can be reached by way of my, I'll give you my personal email address. It is zphiroz@gmail.com. So that's my first initial and my last name at gmail.com. zphiroz@gmail.com. And I'm always very happy to speak to anyone who has any interest in the field and anyone who would like to speak.
Okay, Kareem, how can people get a hold of you?
Usually the best place for me is LinkedIn. That's where I tend to do a lot of my thought leadership and kind of writing about advancements in the field and things that we're doing these days, or our website, which is theatlasnetwork.com.
Fantastic.
Let me amend my answer because that sounds even better. Email is fine, but LinkedIn is much better. I should have had Kareem go first there and just followed his lead.
That's all right. Seriously, a huge thank you to you, Dr. Faraz. It's been an absolute pleasure. You're a very engaging, very entertaining and, of course, very educational person. So it's been great to have you on. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching and listening. And just a reminder that each week we'll have a very special guest on to continue our conversation in the fascinating world of the global supply chain. And don't forget to follow our LinkedIn and YouTube pages at the Supply and Demand Show. See you soon.